121 through 128. Only have the 176 to go, so we don't have that many more weeks, about six more weeks in the study, and looking forward to doing whatever the next study is. Tonight, title of tonight's message is something that goes along with things that we've been looking at all throughout the Psalms, is at one point in time, the psalmist says in this passage of Scripture, again, is give me understanding. And I think that was even the title of one of the messages in this series already, and it's just the emphasis there is just not knowing, but also understanding the Word of God. We have so much, and that's what goes along with our theme for this year. Many times we know, but do we truly want to understand what God's trying to do in our heart and what God's trying to do in our lives? And tonight you're going to look at the fact that the psalmist is being oppressed, he's being attacked, and he even comes to the point, if you look, it says in verse number 126, it says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. How many of us would say, hey, we think it's time for God to work now? It's the world's gone crazy, all these bad things are happening. God, okay, it's time, it's been long enough. But also in the passage of Scripture, you're going to see that he says, I am thy servant, thy servant. So there's an understanding that happens there. It says, look, I'm your servant, I'm going to do whatever, but if you're asking me my opinion, God, I think you need to start doing something. And in 2022 that we live in today, with all the things that are happening, we wonder why God sometimes sits still, but he's not sitting still. He's always at work. He's always at moving. It's everything's going according to his plan, and everything's going to happen the way that he knows is going to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. And that's what I think when you look at this as the psalmist here, and I think tonight, sometimes we have an outline, sometimes we just walk through the passage, and that's what we're going to do tonight, is just kind of walk through the passage and look at some worldly important truths and just say, Lord, I want you to understand. Help me understand what's going on. But no matter what happens, I'm still going to esteem your word more than anything else. I know you're always going to do what's right. I know I can always trust you, even though I don't always see it. That's hard to do. Wait on the Lord. That's a challenge to do sometimes. And that's what you see in this passage of Scripture this evening. Let's go ahead and we're going to read all the way through it, and then we're going to take it verse by verse. It says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Let's have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray as we look at your word tonight, you speak to our hearts. It is true that when we're trying to do right, there are people who will try to oppress us. Sometimes when we feel like we're just doing what is just, there are prideful people out there that will tell us what we're doing is wrong. And God, we've got to come to this moment and realization that we're servants of the Lord and that we can trust in you and that we can wait in you and that no matter what's happening in this world, that you will be, you'll be there for us. And that you will not only be there for us, that we can esteem your word greater than anything that we're going through because we know it's truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number one says, I have done judgment and justice. Then it says, leave me not to my oppressors. So what the psalmist is saying, and we've explained to you before why we think it's David, he's at a stage in his life that he says, look, what I'm doing is right, and I'm doing those things that are just. Now, we say, of course, that's David. Well, you got to remember, David's a king at this time. If you go back to that time period, you see many of the kings back then, they weren't known for doing right. They were known for doing what was sometimes backhanded, or they would do things according to what they wanted and what they desired. But you see a king here that's saying, I know who I am, and I know who brought me here. And he says, I have done judgment and justice. And some people will give justice without giving judgment. Some people will do judgment without being just. And he's saying, I've done what I should. Now I'm asking you, God, please don't leave me to my oppressors. And the amazing thing you see in verses 1 and verse number 2, there are people that are out to get David. There are people who are going to oppress you. And when we're looking at this, and it's difficult when someone's out there to try to harm you, when someone's out there trying to push you or press you a different way, and someone seems like they're continually giving you a hard time, yet David's saying, look, I've only done what is right. And how many times do we get people giving us a hard time for doing what's right? Most of the time it happens more when we do what's right than it happens when we do what's wrong. Because if we do what's wrong, then people are going to accept us. People are going to think, "Oh, you're beneath me when it comes to this." But when you try to do what's right, then it begins to be a light to people saying, "Hey, maybe this is something we should do." And they're offended, even though you try not to push yourself onto somebody else or push your beliefs or your standards or things like that on someone else. They get challenged by that and say, "Well, you do this," and they begin to be oppressed them, even though they're trying. And that's what David's saying. Lord, don't lead me to these oppressors. He says, help me here, Lord. And then you see what it says in verse number 2. He goes and he says, be surety. He's saying, speak for me, protect me, be surety. It says, for thy servant, for good. He says, I want you to understand, Lord, I need you during this time, and I need you to protect me. I need you to speak for me here because of the fact that I'm doing what's right, but I'm still getting hammered. I'm still trying to do what's right, and I'm still things are not going the right way. And he's not trying to do what's right in my mind when he's saying he's done judgment and justice. Sometimes we manipulate our hearts and we manipulate our minds into believing what we're doing is right and don't care what the Word of God says. This guy is looking for understanding. He's looking for the Word of God. He's saying, I am your servant. I know I'm your servant. So be surety for me. Take care of me. I am depending on you. I am trusting in you. You are who and what I need back there. Let not the proud oppress me. And we got to remember, those that oppress those that are doing right, there's something that they're doing wrong. Those who are trying to oppress those that are trying to do what's right, they're doing something that's wrong. And right there is pride. And one of the things we got to remember, most sin begins with that sin of pride. I know what I'm supposed to do, I just don't care. I think I know better, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. And that pride that comes into our heart is something that really is kind of like the birth seed of so many different sins in our hearts and lives. And that's what David's saying here. He says, look, I want you to help me, Lord. I need you to protect me. I need you to be surety for me, and because I'm your servant. You're the one that's protecting me. And as a servant, that's the master's responsibility. Master's responsibility is to provide for them in a, not maybe in a way of lavishing someone, but you take care of them, you protect them, you keep them settled. And that's what David's reminding him of. Then he says in 123, he gets the idea that this has been happening to him for a long time. He says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. He says, I've been looking, and I've been looking, and I've been looking. It still hasn't changed. And I know it sounds like he's discouraged here, but you're going to see at the end of the chapter, he's saying, I love thy commandments. And he says, I esteem all thy precepts. He's believing and he's trusting, but he's like many of us are. We're like, Lord, why are you leaving me here? Why are you leaving me here? Lord, help me here. Be surety for me. Lord, don't leave me amongst my oppressors. I don't know if I can handle this. I've been looking for help for so long, and it's not coming. God, will you please just help me? And then he's asking for knowledge. He's asking for understanding. He says, Lord, help me understand what we're going through here. We think about the important things that the Bible speaks about over and over about watching and waiting. Wait on the Lord. And that's where I think he's teaching the psalmist here, and he's doing this and teaching it to us. He's at a stage in his life that he's being oppressed for doing what's right. And he recognizes that he's not king and that he's king, but he's not in control of his own life, that he is a servant of God. And he says, and for the word of thy righteousness, he says, I've been waiting for you to save me here. And I've been waiting for your word to come out. I'm waiting for this truth to come out, for this light to come out. And I don't know what you're going through in your life today. You may have people who are attacking you. You may have people who are questioning you. You may have people who are making accusations towards you. And maybe sometimes it's because of sin that's in our lives that we must deal with. But here, if you're doing what's right, this is what the psalmist is saying. I'm doing judgment and justice, but it seems like people are still oppressing me and that the proud are oppressing me. verse number 24, he says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. He says, I want you to treat me mercifully. Now, you think about it. Why would he ask for mercy? And it's because he recognizes himself as a servant. If you have a servant, or if the Bible, we're talking about by being a bondservant, the master really doesn't owe any explanation to the servant. The responsibility of the servant is to serve the master. And I think sometimes we forget that. As believers, as children of God, we're heirs together with Christ, but we also, as you see, many of the epistles are opened up, the servant of God, the servant of the Lord, the servant, that we're servants of God. And that it's not for us to always understand what he's doing and the purpose that he has planned for us, but instead it's for us to work and to wait and to do those things. Go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus gives a very, what I believe is a parable, but it's a really powerful lesson about being a servant. And he's teaching this, and in this, he shows something that I think David's understanding. He's like, I'm your servant, Lord. I might be king, I might rule over all these people, but I'm the servant of God. And as a servant of God, Lord, I need you to show me according to your mercy. I don't want to walk off step. I don't want to do something that's against, because I know who I'm supposed to serve, and that's the Lord. Look what it says in Luke chapter 17. Look what it says in verses 7 through 10. It says, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, which have done that which was our duty to do. If David's looking at himself as a servant of God in this light, he's saying, you know what? Whatever I'm going through, it's okay. I want to understand. But when you think about this passage of Scripture, it's Jesus is saying it. It's Jesus himself, and he's saying, if you have a servant that's been working all day, you've been working all day, they come in, you're both hungry, that the master is not going to go to the servant and say, hey, you go take care of yourself, and I'll sit over here and wait. That's not his role. That's not his responsibility. But instead, the servant will come, and the servant will serve the master, and then when he's done, then he'll go take care of himself. And it's not like the master should say, oh, thank you for letting me go first. It was the servant's responsibility to begin with. Now, does Jesus treat anybody like that? No, Jesus puts himself in that place of a servant. Jesus is the one who serves. And Jesus isn't looking for that thanks in the sense that he's talking about here. But it's amazing when you sit there and see what it says in verse 10. It says, so likewise ye, he brings it back to those he's speaking to. And he's speaking to his disciples and to others that are listening here. And he says, so likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I think sometimes people want to stand up and get a round of applause for just doing the things that God tells us to do and tells us to do in his word. And, hey, I came to church. You should be happy. I'm here. Hey, I've read my Bible today. God, you must be really pleased with me. But as a servant of the Most High and a servant of God, we got to come to this realization to understand that God doesn't ever owe us an explanation. We just need to be faithful. We need to be good. Now, does he often give us an explanation? He does. When we seek his word, and that's what the psalmist is asking for. You can go back to Psalms 119. He's asking for understanding. He's asking him to teach you. But when he says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, he says, look, Lord, I know I'm your servant, but please be merciful to me. I'm just trying to do judgment and justice. I'm trying to do what's right. And now these guys are oppressing me. And then I'm asking you to protect me because the proud are still oppressing me. And we've got to remember, even when we do what's good and even when we do what's right, there are going to be people who attack us. There are going to be people who are going to say things. We got to learn to die to criticism. We got to also learn how to die to praise too. Now, once again, you can learn some things from criticism. You can grow from that, and you can chew on what the criticism is. If there's some truth there, you can change. But there's people out there that are just going to try to oppress you and hurt you, and you got to say, I'm not living to serve them. I'm living to serve God. And if I'm living to serve God, I'm going to do things according to His plan and according to His way. Let's go ahead and look over here in next verse, actually at the end of this one, and he said, and teach me thy statutes. He said, I want you to deal with me according to mercy, and I want you to teach me according to thy statutes. So he wants to learn. And that's the same thing. Shouldn't you want to learn what the master wants? I mean, that's what the idea is. I've had the opportunity to manage people since I was 17. I got the opportunity. Actually, back when I was 15, I worked in the dish room, and I was the guy in charge of the dish room. And so I got to have a couple guys that worked underneath me. And I tell you, it was my job as a supervisor or as a manager to get the idea what the head manager or what the owner wanted. I needed to understand what he wanted because that's what I needed to follow through. That's what I needed to do. But there are a lot of people out there who many times they think they know what's right, they think they know what's best, and they come up with this idea, well, this is what I should do, and this is how I should act, and that's not what they're looking for as a servant. What a master is looking for in a servant is a servant to do the work that he's been asked to do, that he's been told to do. And that's what it's talking about in Luke chapter number 17. We have a merciful God, we have a gracious God, we have a loving God, but we have a God who says that we should obey him. We have a God that says we need to do those things. And that's what David, even though he doesn't really understand, look, I've done judgment, I've done justice, please be surety for me. I keep on being oppressed. I keep on looking for your help. I keep on looking for the righteous word that's coming from you because I know whatever decision you make is going to be right. And whatever decision you do is going to be right. But I'm at the spot. I'm at this moment where I need your mercy because I'm struggling. And when we wait, sometimes we get overwhelmed. But he keeps on saying this phrase, thy servant. He says, teach me thy statutes. I want to know what you want, God. I want you to know what your servant is. And when you work for someone, that's how it's supposed to work inside, at least especially in the secular world. You find out what the owner or your boss wants you to do, and then you perform the duties that he asks you to do. That's what you get paid to do. And that's what he's saying here. I need you to teach my statutes. And then he says in verse 125, once again, the third time, I am thy servant. Give me understanding. It's a step farther there. He's saying that I want understanding, Lord. I want to know why these things are happening. And there's a reason. It's because that I may know thy testimonies. He's saying that I want to know and I want to understand your statutes. I want to understand why these things are happening so I can go tell others about your testimony, who you are. Because when we truly know and understand what God's will is, when we get it out of God's word and we see things out of God's word and we learn things, we want to explain that to somebody else. Like this past Sunday afternoon, we talked about 1 Corinthians 13, about love and how we love one another and supposed to love together in the church. But then you take it to that other perspective. Hey, I'm not just supposed to love the people who treat me good because that's what everybody does. I'm not supposed to love those that just love me because that's what everyone does. And we begin to understand the heart of God if we will let those principles and those precepts understand, okay, God desires that we love others. Why would God want that? And we begin to see that God loves the world, that he wants to reach people, and that he sent his son to die on the cross to die for us. And so because of that, we don't live the normal life. We live the Christian life. We live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. And that's why David is sitting there and saying, give me understanding. God, I want to understand why you're allowing me to go through these things so I can know your testimonies, so I can tell the world. So give me understanding. Then he comes to this spot. He gives his opinion. And I love this verse because so often this is a verse that I say, Lord, it's time for you to do something. It's been long enough. There's enough problems. There's enough other things going on. We've been dealing with this so long. We've felt oppression for so long. We've dealt with prideful people so long. God, why don't you step in and do something? And I don't say in a smart aleck way or arrogant way. But that's what the psalmist is saying here. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. And I think we've probably all been there before. God, I don't know what you're doing. Please teach me your statutes. Give me understanding what you're doing. But God, it's time for you to do something. It's time for you to show up. It's time for you to work. And here's the reason. For they have made void thy law. It's amazing what they've done. It's amazing how they've changed things. Think about what it says in Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own light. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And he's saying that, man, there is so much wickedness there. Woe, it's a danger for people that will call evil good. And that's what the psalmist is saying. For so long, this has happened. It's time for you to work. I think he's getting tired of it. But then what does he say next? He doesn't say, I'm throwing in the towel. He doesn't say, he says in verse number 127, he says, therefore I love thy commandments. This doesn't sound like a guy who's loving the Lord, but that's who he is. He's a servant of God. He is someone who is waiting on the Lord, and he's getting tired of waiting. He's waiting for God to work, but in the end he says, I'm still your servant. I'm still your servant. I'm still your servant. And I love thy commandments. As much as gold, or more than gold, sorry. He said, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So he comes to this point and says, no matter what happens, I know your word's right. And no matter what I face, no matter who oppresses me, no matter all the hard things I go through and all the hard times I face, even though I'm struggling and I'm waiting for you to work, and my eyes are failing for thy salvation, I'm waiting on your word, I'm still your servant, and I still want to learn your statutes, and I still want to have understanding so I can tell the world how great you are, because your commandments, they're more valuable than the most precious thing you can think of. Now, gold is something that is very valuable today. And then you take fine gold, and that's even a greater value. And he's saying, look, the Bible's more important than that. Now, we will take our possessions and our treasures, and many times we'll lock them away, put them in a safe, maybe a safety deposit box. Why is that? Because we want to protect them. But if the scriptures and the word of God is known for being more precious than gold, yea, fine gold, and then rubies and other things, that, like it talks about in the book of Proverbs, why don't we take this and we hide this in our heart instead of just hiding our possessions? And that's what the psalmist is saying. And then the Bible says in verse 128, therefore I esteem. That word esteem means love and admire. And it says, all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So he's saying, I take your word. I take your word seriously. Once again, he's the servant, and there is a master. And he says, everything you say, I admire it. I esteem it. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. He's saying, I'm not picking and choosing the things, and that's what we do as Christians so often. Well, I like this portion of the Bible, so I got this down. I'm going to be an advocate for that. I'm going to live that. It's going to be my badge. It's going to be my button. But the psalmist is saying, forget that. He says, I'm tired of just doing some things. He says, it's all thy precepts concerning all things. He says, I esteem them. I admire them. They are all right. It's not just some of it. It's all the different things in our lives. That's what I want. Then he comes to a point where he says, I hate every false way. It goes back to that message last week on Wednesday night when he says, I hate vain thoughts. And I hope that helped you. I know it helped me some. I hope this past week has been something that I've been filtering through. Is that a vain thought? Is that something really that needs to be there? Remember, the psalmist hated the vain thoughts. Remember, the psalmist had a desire for God and for God to work, and you're not going to be able to love God's word and have all those vain thoughts at the same time, those worthless thoughts. You're going to have one or the other. You're going to have to make a choice. And that's what he's saying. I've made my choice. I look at the word of God. I believe what the word of God says. I esteem it. I admire it concerning every part. I know it is right. I know it is true. And anything that contradicts this is something I hate. Doesn't mean that we have to hate the sinner. Obviously, God loves the sinner. We're supposed to reach out to them. But I hate those things that turn people aside. And sometimes we just seem like we are lovey-dovey with sin. We want to be so acceptable and so welcomed by so many other people. We turn a blind eye to the things that are clearly written in the Bible. And I'm not talking about your preferences. I'm talking about things that are directly found in the Word of God and its truth. And we turn around and say, Well, I wonder if that's really that big of a deal. That's a vain thought. It is. Take your Bible to Psalms 37. Do we really hate all those false ways? Do we really despise those things that are contrary to the Word of God? The psalmist, as a servant of God, is saying, that's what I want. That's what I want to be. I want to esteem God's Word greater than anything else. Psalms 37 kind of gives this principle, and I like this passage of Scripture when it talks about not fretting about what the evil people are doing, or evildoers are doing. Psalms 37, verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, David is over here in Psalms 119 saying, I'm being oppressed, I need you to help me, God. But he comes to this point and he realizes, Lord, it's time for you to work. But he says, I can wait, though. And the reason why I can wait is because I'm your servant. I'm not my own servant. I'm not my own master. I don't have to push my way through and do things my way and get things done the way I want them done, because I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. And so the psalmist here is saying, it's the psalmist, Psalm of David. He says, look, don't worry, don't fret about the evildoers, but instead trust in the Lord and do good. In verse number 3, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And David definitely had been fed. David had definitely been taken care of. Then it's, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I read David saying, Lord, it's time for you to work. They've made void your law. He's angry. He's upset. He doesn't like what the world is doing. He says, God, it's time for you to go. But if we'll delight in what God delights in, God's going to give us the desires of our heart. But the point is, if we're not delighting in what God delights in, then he's not going to give us the desires of our heart. If we truly delight in the Lord and we seek God's heart and we understand what God wants for our life, they will become our delights. They will become the things we want. And we will have no problem doing those, and God has no problem giving those to us. The issue is, our desires are not always God's desires. And so he says, no. Let's keep on going. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And this is the idea. If you're in a spot where you're waiting, and you're in a spot where people are oppressing you, and you're in a spot where you know you're a servant of the Lord, but it seems like you've been waiting for this answer for so long, this is great advice. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring it forth, thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. In God's timing, God's way, that righteous word's coming. And here he's saying, look, God will bring these things to light. Now just commit yourself to the Lord and be patient. And it says in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Find your comfort and find your rest in God. Don't have to worry about those that are oppressing you. You don't have to worry about those that are being prideful. You don't have to worry about those that are making the law void. All you have to do is serve the Lord, be his servant, and rest in him. And then it says, and wait patiently for him. Meaning, we're waiting for God to do what God wants to do. We're not telling God, hey, God, this is what I want. Now I'm waiting for you to do it. Instead, we are resting in the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. And we're waiting patiently for him to perform that work he desires. And that's where it comes to the psalmist here. He says, give me understanding. And here's the understanding. Wait on the Lord. Come to the spot. I esteem God's word in everything, that it's right and that it's good. Verse number 7, continue on. Fret not thyself once again because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, don't worry about them. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Consider his place. What's the end of the wicked? It's hell. And even in this world, things may seem like they're going and breaking their way. For all eternity, we'll be in that land. We'll be in heaven forever. And that's what he says. Look, don't get angry in verse number 9. Verse number 8, forsake wrath. Don't do these things. Don't let the evildoers, don't let those that are oppressing you, don't let those prideful people get to you. Still do judgment. Still do justice. Still seek for the Lord to be your defense, for the Lord to be your surety. Even though it might seem like you're waiting forever to get your answer, the righteous answer will come, and you can trust in him. And so wait on the Lord. And then while you're there, ask the Lord, tell me what you want me to do. God, I'm in this dark time. I'm in this hard time. It seems like I'm being oppressed. You show me what you want me to do. Teach me thy statutes. Not only teach me thy statutes, give me understanding so I can teach others your testimonies. It's a wonderful truth here is found, is that seeking, give me understanding. Why is that? Because when we're going through a hard time, it's easy to want to just walk away. It's easy to say it's time to quit. It's easy to say, I've been waiting so long, it's not worth it. But the psalmist says, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to esteem your commandments better than anything else out there. It's going to be truth. I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold, more than the greatest thing you could think about desiring that this world has to offer pales in comparison to what God's word has to offer to you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I...